This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive with Em and Warren.
Just with Warren at the moment. Susie Rong, good afternoon.
Because we are talking about something that's slightly creepy and pervy, and you've been talking about perfumes all day. I've got a creepy, pervy perfume story for you.
Have you? Okay, please tell us.
So the person that I've had, the person I made love with for the very first time in my life. So for all those years ago, he wore a perfume that I shall not name. And ever since then, whenever I get into a relationship with a man, I would buy the man that perfume.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Well, that must have been the best lovemaking session then, if you want to take yourself back to that time.
It must be. I smell it and I think, oh, that smells erotic. So I'm always terrified that it's going to be discontinued.
Oh, no. What happens then? Your sex life just stops?
Well, you know there are businesses that make like imitation ones.
It won't be the same.
Oh, God. I don't know.
You better buy.
Anyway, at my age, it should stop anyway.
I reckon you need to buy a box full of it. It's interesting. I remember the smell of the first time, you know, I did as well, and of the guy. And, you know, it wasn't the best time I ever had, and I got turned off by the smell.
Ah.
I haven't smelt it since, although once, I must admit, I was walking through, I think it was an office building, and someone walked past with it, and immediately, is that him? And I smelled, that's the only time that I've smelt it since, but I'll never forget it.
You know earlier when you said the Mozzie spray, I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It was a big thing for some time, and then I just thought, I wonder if it does repel the Mozzies. We're talking about Fahrenheit there. Maybe it does.
It repels me. That's what it does.
Now, before we talk, we just heard then about the inspection, and you and I, Susie, spoke about that last week. And if you want to catch that, don't forget all our chats are podcast at joy.org.au/podcast. And that one is already up.
Yeah, I love that film. And I'm glad it's still running and people still have a chance to see it.
Definitely. So today, though, we are talking about Dead Ringers, which is streaming on Amazon Prime. Susie, give us the lowdown.
Elliot and Beverly Mantle are twin sisters who live together and who work together as highly accomplished gynecologists. They are thick as thieves, closer than any two humans can ever be. But in the Amazon Prime video series Dead Ringers, things turn awry when their careers kick into high gear, when a billionaire invests into their state-of-the-art and ethically questionable birthing center, and when one of the twins, Beverly, falls in love with a beautiful actress, Genevieve. Beverly's the nicer, more conscientious of the pair, and Elliot is the one prone to immorality and decadent excess. Dead Ringers is macabre and seductive, based on the 1988 film by David Cronenberg of the same name, which was inspired by the scandalous true story of New York twin gynecologists who in 1975 were found dead under mysterious circumstances. This time, turning the twins into women adds greater depth to what is already an incredibly layered and complex tale, because Beverly is desperate to have a child of her own after several failed attempts. I'm sure you can imagine all the outlandish science fiction possibilities that could take place in their experimental labs as a result of the twin doctors trying to make their personal and professional dreams come true. I love the many unusual themes covered by Dead Ringers, not least of all is the relationship women have with childbearing. And on this occasion, I'm glad to report that motherhood is not portrayed as all wine and roses. Of course, another significant matter being explored is the intense but realistic interdependency of the the two doctors, which in the original movie brought things to the darkest of conclusions. In this new version, though, there are some very clever surprises that meet us at the end. Warren, some of this, I think you'd agree, is difficult to watch, but I hope you saw some of it, if not all six amazing episodes.
I haven't seen all six of them, but I tell you what, Susie, I'm going to watch all six of them. The opening scene of the first episode got me straight away. As soon as I saw that, I thought, I think I'm going to really like this. I just loved it. And I don't want to spoil what it is, but it was just an instant like towards it. And I think Rachel Weisz plays these two characters, Beverly and Elliot, and does such an amazing job. I love Elliot. I fell in love with Elliot's character. I mean, she's a more adventurous and, I suppose, boundary-pushing one, isn't she? But I don't know what she does in the last few episodes, so I'm scared that I'll get myself into trouble if I say I love her. But I do like the way also they incorporate racism into it as well. You know, there's a black woman who dies because of, I suppose, she's ignored and she's in pain. So that's incorporated into it as well. And we also see the other side of birthing, where wealthy people treat surrogates. And it was almost had a little bit of Handmaid's Tale flavor in there as well. So I really love it, Susie. I think it's great. It's sort of, it's like a comedy, but a horror look at the health US health system. And I thought it was really good. It's almost got a little bit of American Horror Story vibe to it as well, don't you reckon?
The first scene you're talking about is a scene in the diner, is it?
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's so well written. I think it's infinitely complex. And I think I find my mind racing a lot while watching it. So I thought these six episodes took me some time, more time than it needed to, because I needed to have a breather between episodes, which I think is, you know, evidence that the show is really well made and that it's kind of really well thought out. I love the complexity of it. It's written very well, really, really intelligent ideas in there, as well as a lot of really playful, fun and kind of outrageous things to kind of make you feel a sense of controversy, like a lot of quite like daring things that you're watching, including the birthing scenes, which was like, for me, quite a rare thing to see, because they had a sequence where they were showing, I don't know what, 10 or 20 babies being birthed, and you were just constantly watching babies come out of the vaginal canal. And that was interesting. Initially, obviously, you kind of want to turn your eyes a little bit, but because it's such a long sequence, I found myself getting used to it a little bit. And then it almost makes you feel like, oh, maybe that's how the doctors get used to it, because you're looking at it every day and it becomes sort of nothing, which is a dangerous thing. Like if that amount of blood becomes like, oh, this is just normal.
Yeah, I have to admit too, the birthing scenes, I normally can't watch a lot of that. I get a bit squirmish and turn away. And I think when I might have closed my eyes just for one of the cesarean scenes, but for the rest, I actually watch it. I think they're done. I don't know whether they're filmed a certain way or what have you, but they're quite watchable, even though they're raw scenes. And I found it fascinating. I've never watched one before, and I was glued to it as well.
I did think that the whole series is filmed a bit dark. I don't know if it's in the filming process or the post-production process. It's all a little bit dark, which I found a little bit annoying. Sometimes I felt like it's broad daylight, yet everything is very dark. That annoyed me, but it does give the show that mood, right? That sort of really... Right. Like gloomy and, you know, nothing is going to work out right mood. And I think there isn't anything particularly horror-like that confronts you. Obviously, the women are doing really nefarious things, but, you know, there isn't like cinematic horror stuff coming at you. But that sense of dread, I guess, like American Horror Story does go through the whole six episodes.
Yeah, I think there's it's sort of like a bit of a psychological horror in some ways. Like you're right, you anticipate stuff. You don't necessarily see it front on. But I think that twin girls swapping could have easily have been a bit of a cliche, swapping roles, but they do it really well. They do it really well.
the stakes are so high. Like the first time we was it first or second time that we see them swap? Well, the first time was in a sort of a situation with patients, and and already like it's, oh, this is not funny, you know.
I know.
And then I think later there was like almost like a sexual situation where they swap. So I feel like a lot of this is really daring and really challenging to like how you navigate your morality. I know a lot of it deals with morality.
I think you're right. And because I felt the same when I was, and I think that's why I'm calling it a little bit horror-ish, because I felt like, you know, there was a thin line. They're walking a tightrope here between, medical professionalism and ethics and horror. Like, it was just this, oh, hang on, it's only a show, it's not real, it's not going to happen in real life. But I found myself sort of oscillating between that, that tension.
Yeah, I think that tension makes it work, right? Otherwise, you're just kind of bored with it a little bit, because it really makes you on your toes and think, oh, I kind of like what they're doing, but clearly there's something very wrong about what they're doing. And later in the show, I think second or third episode, their big time investor steps in, and she too is a lesbian. Her name is Rebecca Parker, and she's very obviously based on the real life a Sackler family in America who are responsible for the really terrible opioid crisis that they do have. So there is that storyline that's going to be coming up for you, where they finally get their funding for the center that they're dreaming of, but the money comes through really, really bad sources. And that role was performed beautifully. And you really have to see that.
We are talking about Dead Ringers with Susie Rong, which is streaming on Amazon Prime at the moment. I tell you what I did like in it, and I want one. Now, if I had a twin, I love the way that the twin swapped and hooked up the date and then did all the hard work and then just presented the date and said, here you go. Like, how good was that?
That's not good. That's terrible.
Like, because it's so much hard work.
Well, and clearly one of them, because one of them is a lot flirtier anyway. And also, she doesn't have her personal stakes in it. So maybe that's why she's less nervous. Do you have friends who are twins?
No, I don't. I was trying to think about it. I don't have any twin friends.
Yeah, I have twin friends. I knew them when they were younger, like they were around the age of 18, 20, and their closeness is nothing, it's like nothing I have seen before. And not just that they're very close, but there is just no desire to not be close. I think we're very used to meeting people, especially when they're young, who are trying to figure out their identity as a person and figure out their own sense of independence. But it was so bizarre to me to see how comfortable these two young people were with sort of being in each other's pockets the whole time. Mm. And I think the show represents that so well, that there is no need for them to establish any individualism, any sort of individual personhood. They're so comfortable being with someone else, and for me that is odd. Yeah,
it's an odd relationship.
Yeah, that dependency. And then obviously now with Genevieve, the very beautiful woman coming in the middle of them and sort of disrupts everything. In the original film, that was, I think, the main story, if I'm not wrong. Jeremy Irons played the twins in the original film from 1988, and one of them falls in love. I think in the original film, they were both sleeping with women, pretending to be one person, which was obviously very, very problematic, until one of them actually falls in love with a girl and then breaks up the twin brothers, and that's when things became really bad, which does happen in this TV series as well.
I'm looking forward to watching the rest of the episodes. And also, I mean, it does, I don't know how real it is, but it does show up, some of the, I suppose, flaws or boundaries of the US healthcare system in terms of, how it treats people and, where its weaknesses are. I don't know if it's a real reflection, but I was looking online and some people were saying, yeah, that's the state of our healthcare system over here at the moment.
Well, there's a lot of truth in not only on that side, but also on the other side of the exploration, the investigations, what do you call it, experimentations? I mean, the free air society is, the harder it is to sort of control and have an eye over what's happening in these secret labs, you know? Like, we always think that there's an authority that's keeping an eye on these things, but who knows? Like, Elliot is determined to be able to grow a baby from nothing. And, you know, and when that happens, what does that mean? And are we comfortable? I mean, clearly we are not comfortable if anything like that does happen, but who is to say that it hasn't happened yet? Like, we're almost naive, I think. I'm watching this and I'm thinking, oh, we are so naive. We think that there's someone out there just kind of controlling these things. But no, they're like, these labs are in America are privately owned, and then who knows what they're doing in there.
That's exactly right. And if we look recently, I suppose we can compare that to artificial intelligence, you know, and the release of ChatGPT and the recent letter that was written by, you know, significant scientists and prominent people saying we need to pause, you know, research on artificial intelligence at the moment because we don't want it to catch up to, you know, to where human intelligence is until we can put together some guidelines and standards and manage the ethics around it. So I feel like there's a bit of a parallel there.
Yeah. And the problem is we put so much more emphasis on capitalism or on making money, you know, making money for your shareholders and sort of and keeping your employment levels up, that's so much more important than all these sort of ethical considerations in terms of whatever things that are invented, whether in medical or in technological fields. And there's certainly a parallel there. And, you know, I certainly don't believe that they can put a pause on things like that. Who's going to pause? If there are billions and billions to be made, who's going to be pausing and lagging behind in the race?
Well, that's true. And the other thing is, I mean, if we look at that, for example, like ChatGPT is an experiment that is happening and we're all the guinea pigs and testing it at the moment. And I'm not trying to be fearful or anything, but it's kind of the other way around. We're not testing first and then releasing to the public. We're doing the opposite. We're using the public to test this system and we have to all adapt to it. So I feel like you're right. We need these checks and balances in place with all these sorts of research.
Yeah, and in this show, there are women who are so desperate to get pregnant that they volunteer themselves to be guinea pigs, which is also very, very morbid to watch.
That's right. We are talking about Dead Ringers streaming on Amazon Prime with Susie Rong. Susie, what are we watching for homework next week?
The Whale won Brendan Fraser a Best Actor Oscar a couple of months ago. A reclusive teacher suffering from severe obesity attempts to reconnect with his estranged teenage daughter for one last chance at redemption. Available to rent or buy at your favorite platforms. The title is The Whale.
Fantastic, Susie.
Thank you, Warren, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
See you, Susie. That's Susie Rong.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.